Come on, we can turn this on. We really can. There we go. Okay, the first thing is the portfolio project. All I want you to do is something very basic to get started. And in your last capstone course, whatever major it's in, you're going to have to add more to it. So it's a good idea if you kind of add things as you go along. So the portfolio should basically have a front page, and I gave you a template that can be used as the front page right here. So there's one that, you know, that's just the kind of thing. It's an introductory thing. This is something that you would use if you were making a portfolio that you were going to show to an employer. So I've got my name, I've got an email, I've got my major option. I put a description there, description of my goals, and click here to see the table of contents. Okay, so what you're going to do is something similar. I'd certainly prefer it if it was a little more creative than this, but it can be very much similar to this. Then I said, click here to go to the table of contents, and so that links to another page. So I have to have a link on here, and the other page that I'm linking to is called portfoliotablecontents.html. It's in the same folder, so therefore it doesn't need an address. So when you put it together, you're going to put them in the same folder, and then you don't need an address. If you make a different folder, you need an address. So I have the AH reference equals, there is the name of it. Okay, so then I click on that and none of these links work. But for you, they need to work. Okay, so you're going to put links in here to a JavaScript, an HTML that you did. So you put in the address for the HTML would be in the same folder. Then you might have a link to a JavaScript. And so that would be another link to an HTML because a JavaScript has an HTML extension. Then I said I wanted you to link to one of the databases you've done. So when you upload these to the server, you upload the database. And down here, let's say this is the name of the database. You just put that in as the address. When you click on it, it actually brings down the database, depending on the browser you're in. But in most browsers, it will actually just bring down the database. So you're going to put three or four things out there. Remember what their names are. List their names in here so that if you click on any one of them, you'll go and bring it up so that you can put samples of your work. And these can be from other courses, they can be from this course, they should be computer things, related things, because we're looking at what you would want to show a boss. And in fact, probably you're going to take all of those out and put in the things you get your second, third, fourth semester more than your first semester. But it's getting started with this portfolio idea. Okay. Questions on that? So basically, you're going to do one title page, one detail page, and this is the detail page. And the detail page is going to link to your work. Okay, so you're going to have links to the work that you've done in the detail page. You know, I put in a little CSS to make it look other than black and white. And all of that kind of stuff. Okay. Questions? Honest? Okay.
It's the address that you want us to link it to the same thing we did with our personal web pages from the beginning of the semester?
Yeah. Okay. You're going to put it up on the server just like you put your personal web page up there.
Okay.
And in fact, you could link to that as one of the things you did if you want to.
Okay.
You know, you could have a click here to see my first page and put the address of the first page right there. So you can link to that as one of the things that you've done. Okay, so you can link to anything, and you're going to put it up on the server, and the server is the CIS web. Okay, so you're going to put it up on CIS web. And you're using the same address and everything that you did before. CISweb.bristolcc.edu/tilde your username, and then slash the name of the file. Okay? Okay, so that is that project. Okay, we are finishing up this week. The stuff that I want to cover, I will be covering today and Thursday. We will finish up this week. Next week is going to be open labs all week. So I have a lab Mondays from 11 to 2, and then Tuesday, the lab will be from 9:30 to about 5, and Thursday will be 9:30 to about 4, right? Thursday's till 4. So 9:30 to about 4. So it's basically open labs, and either Eric and I or both of us will be here during the open labs. So that's the time to come and get finished. Your final is scheduled for the Tuesday of finals, which is, somebody give me the date. It's earlier than that, I believe. Eight. I think it's actually the 8th. No, the 10th. 10th. I think it's actually the 10th.
They had a
last day class is the 2nd, right?
Right. Yeah. I think it's the 10th. No, you're right. Yeah. 10th. Anyway, I think it's the Tuesday of final week. And you can look up the finals. Anyway, I post your final 1 week before the posted date. It's an online final. So don't bother to come. I'm not going to be here, so why should you? Okay, so you're welcome to come in and use the lab, but I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be correcting. So, yeah, I got down to 8 things in my in-basket this weekend, and then I went home yesterday. And it was all over.
Does it make ten?
Because I'd gotten a load of stuff. May 10th, I believe.
Okay.
So, essentially, that means I will post it before the Tuesday of next week. So I'll post it before next Tuesday. You should read it through and figure out any questions you have, so that when you come to the help lab, you can ask me questions. Okay, and get it so that the things are under control on that. You can certainly email me questions, but it's easier to go over them in person if you're here. So if you have questions, send me the email. Your final is kind of a combination of questions to cover pretty much everything we've done. Some of them are required, some of them are optional. So you get to kind of put together the questions, the required questions you have to do, the optional questions you can pick and choose to get up to the point you want. Okay? And so if you want to get 100, then after you've done the required, maybe that's 60 points. And so you have to pick some of the optional questions to get another 40 points. Okay? So, you get to pick and choose on the optional questions, on the required questions, you have to do them. And if you lose points on the required questions, you can't make them up by doing an extra optional. The required are required. So, the final will be posted a week ahead of time. It's open notes, open book, open anything,
can't ask any friends, individual project, and it's due in a week. And you have to pass it in at the posted time for this final. So if this final is posted as 11 o'clock, I think it's 10:30 actually, maybe.
It's not even released yet.
Yeah, it is. I've got it.
Well, wait, not to us.
I got lucky and found it, I guess. I don't know. But I actually have it, but it's not here. So let's say it's 10:30. Yeah, the posted time is 10:30 on May 10th. That means it has to be into me by 10:30 on May 10th.
So
not 10:31, not 10:32, 10:30.
So we can send it in before that?
I definitely would recommend you send it in before that.
So when's it going to actually be viewable?
The final?
Yeah.
1 week before.
Okay, so far.
But now remember, folks, the final is 10% of your grade.
Yeah, homework's the most important thing.
Homework is it. Homework is 80% of your grade. So if you don't do homework, then I'm not even going to even correct your final. Because if you don't have enough so that that 10 points makes any difference, I'm just going to ignore the fact that you send in a final. Because if you've got 30 points on homework, ain't going to cut it, folks.
And do you have a last day like Janelle does to pass in homework?
Last day of our class, which is the 5th.
Okay.
Not the last day of classes in general, the last day of our class, which is the 5th. And we've got a lab going all that day. So I ought to have stuff coming in from that day if you're not done.
Okay,
but the 5th is it, and you can take it home and finish up till midnight, but it has to be in by midnight on the 5th. Now, I'm a wuss. So if you pass in something or I see that you are borderline, you're sitting there with a very borderline grade, I will probably send you an email and say, if you get this into me, it's going to make a significant impact on your grade. And my recommendation is you do it.
Yep.
Okay? So if somebody is sitting there with a 79 and doing one more homework assignment would throw them up to a B, I will probably send them an email and say, do that extra homework assignment. I'll take it late. Get it into me. If you pass in homework late, I just do not promise to correct it. But I will take a look at it after I've turned in grades and see if it alters your grade. And if it does, I'll alter your grade. So if it comes in between the last day of classes and the final, I'm not promising I'll correct it. I will try to, but even then, if it comes in, I can look at your grade afterward and change your grade. I have that power. Okay, so that's where we stand. I really, truly like to see people get good grades, so I will let you know if you're borderline. Okay, any other questions? Okay. What we're going to do is go back and look at access a little bit today. And we're looking very briefly at how you can have multiple tables in the database. Okay, now, there are whole courses on this. We're covering it in an hour. So therefore, we are doing a very, very, very overview look at it. But just to give you the idea, because if you are going on in computing, you really should understand why, how you can make multiple tables in a database, because computing is all about data. If you're in networking, you're learning how to make the computer such that it can handle data. If you're in programming, you're handling the data directly. But no matter what you're doing, if you're security, you're trying to keep the data safe. No matter what it is, it's about data. That's the important thing out there.
Forensics, you try to recover.
And try to check out what somebody is hiding, like their criminal attempt. Sitting on the Caribbean doing crimes is the new way to go. Okay, so what we're going to look at is how you put in multiple tables, and I'm going to briefly look at these rules, and then we're going to talk about a bit.
what we call it is a database today is a relational database. There is also big data, and that's another step forward in another world. But big data at this point is used primarily by big companies. Amazon uses big data and that sort of thing. So we're going to look at relational databases, which is the way that most of the companies keep their data. Okay. First of all, a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay? So, I have a student table. Okay? And the student ID is my primary key. And then I have a student name. And then I want to keep track of their major. And then I decide I want to keep track of all of the courses that they take. And now I've got a problem, because the courses would be repeating groups. So if I set up a field over here, and I call it course one, and then I have one called course two, and then I call one that's called course three, and I keep going. Sooner or later, I say, that's enough, and I stop. And that means that if I've stopped at 20 or 25, you can't take a 26th course because I haven't set up a slot for you. And that makes no sense. Which is why they say you can't have repeating groups. So this would be wrong. Okay? I can't have repeating groups. What I have to do, and we'll look at it in a second, is set up another table to hold the information about what courses you're taking, where I would have your student ID and the course on it, okay? So that would be, you cannot have repeating groups. And I tell the story about placing an order one time, and when I got to, I wanted to place an order on the phone for seven things. And when I got to five and went on to the sixth, the woman thanked me for my order. And I said, but I've got two more things, and she said, I can't take them. Because she had slots for five things that I ordered.
So you had to do it again.
So finally I convinced her that I really wanted the sixth and the seventh thing. And so she said, all right. And she started a whole new order for me. And I had to give her my name again. I had to give her my address again. I had to give her everything. And then she could put in a new order for the sixth and the seventh thing. Okay, and that's because her repeating groups allowed me to order five things. And when she was done with the five things, tough, I couldn't get in there. Okay, so that's the reason why you can't have repeating groups, is repeating groups implies a limit. And most things, or a lot of things, do not want a limit. If you've got repeating groups where it's absolutely only going to have three things, you're absolutely sure of that, positive of that, then yeah, you can break the rule and do it. But at least by having that the rule, you have to think about breaking it, okay, and be able to rationalize why you broke it. Okay. The second thing is, if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So let's talk about setting up the student courses. I could have my table that would have a student ID, and it would have the course number, okay, and it would have the date that the course was taken. And it would have the grade in that course, for example. Okay. Now, in this particular case, I have to think about what the primary key is. Because remember, a primary key uniquely identifies a record. So over here on my student table, over here on my student table a student ID number uniquely identified each record. Each record, there's one record per student, student ID identifies it. Over here on my course table, a student can take multiple courses. And so student ID can't be the primary key. But primary keys, luckily, can be made up of multiple fields. So student ID and then course number, okay? Sort of makes it unique, except what if the person doesn't pass the course and has to take it again? Then you can't put them in again if it's student ID and course number. Okay, John Doe, CIS 120. I can't have a second one for John Doe, CIS 120. But if I combine the date, which might be spring 16, then I can put it in twice because I can have John Doe, CIS 120, fall 15, John Doe, CIS 120, spring 16. So these three things together make the primary key. Okay, those three things together make the primary key. Now, grade, looking at the second rule, it says a relation is in second normal form if it's in first normal form, no repeating groups. And no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So everything I add below the primary key has to be dependent on the three parts of the primary key. And grade is a particular student taking a particular course on a particular semester. So that grade represents you taking a particular course on a particular date. Now, if I were to say I wanted to put the course name in here, is the course name dependent on all the parts of the key? No. Course name is only dependent on the course number. So I can't have that in there because it is not dependent on the entire primary key. Okay, so that's rule two. And then a relation is in third normal form, if it's in second normal form, and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, so a determinant is something that determines what record it is, like student ID. So I could add in on this particular table over here, I could add a field called Social Security Number. Okay? Because Social Security Number is another kind of primary key. I could have used it as a primary key. In fact, we used to use it as a primary key, except that it's illegal. Okay, so we no longer,
They changed the world.
That's right. So we can't use it that way. But okay, only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So let's say that I wanted to put in here the major code and the major name. Okay. Actually, I should have written that in red because I'm going to cross it out. Okay, so major code and major name. Okay, major code is a determinant because major code determines major name. If I know you're a CI major, then I know the name of your major is Computer Information Systems. If I know you're a BU major, I know you're in business. Okay? So the major name is a determinant. I can only have things that relate directly to the student ID. Major code does. Major name doesn't relate to the student ID. It relates to the major code. If I want to have a major name, then I need to come over here and set up a major table. And on the major table, I'm going to put the major code. And that's going to be the primary key. And then I can put the major name. And then I can put the chair of the department. And then I can put an office if it has an office and all of that kind of stuff. So now the major name is dependent on the major code. Now the other thing to notice here is that if I have multiple tables, they've got to link together so that I can figure things out. So my student ID on the student table links to my student ID over there. My major code over here links to my major code over there. And maybe I want another table that might be my course table. And it would contain my course number as my primary key and my course name and the number of credits for that course. Is it a 3-credit course or a 4-credit course? Course number then links over to there. So I have all of this linking that happens between tables.
Okay. And all of this linking puts together a database table. Now, we just did this real quickly. In the real world, this would involve a committee made up of people from business, people from computing, sitting down, interviewing people, analyzing things, discussing things, and finally coming up with a plan. Okay? Running the plan by another zillion people and finally implementing it. Okay? Way down the line. But the problem is, if you make a mistake here, it'll haunt you for years and years and years and years. And so you want to be very perfect in making your design. And the more people that get to give you some comments and feedback, the more likely you are to discover where you went wrong. Okay? Because if you mess this up, then it's going to make all of your queries later on more difficult to do, all of your maintenance, adding people to the table, all of that stuff is going to be far, far harder. And once you've got a load of records in here, fixing the data tables is almost impossible. Okay? So that's why this step is critical. Usually people that are heavily involved in this have been the junior member of multiple committees before they become a senior member of a committee. Okay? And it's a design issue. And the design has to be perfected. Questions? Okay. Then we're going to look at okay, so this is a table that I did, and it is, I want to keep the following information, okay? So I'm going to have a department, I called it department instead of major here, but I am going to be keeping the tables, and these tables are very similar to what we just went over. I have a student table, I have information about the department, I have information about the credits, and I have information about the semester and year and the grade they took it. So basically, this is what we just went over, except I forgot that I called it department here, and I called it major on what we just went over. Okay, so now I'm going to look at... Can I make this go away, please? A database. Okay. So on this... And I'm going to save this on my F drive. Okay, so now I'm in here and I have set up four tables. Okay, so my first table that I created is called student table. And if I look at the student table, there's the design. And I had a little bit more on here than I had, but the student ID is the primary key. And again, you click on the primary key button next to the thing that you want to be the primary key. If you want three things to be the primary key, you highlight all three. And then after you've highlighted all three, you can click on the primary key and it will make all three the primary key together. So I said on the student, I wanted the student ID, their name, city, state, their department code or major code, and their GPA. And I didn't have GPA and address when I did it. Okay, so that's the table that I want. And I put some data in it. And so those are the people that I want. Now, the important thing here is student ID I have defined as a short text of 5 characters. I'm going to have student ID down here on the student course table also. It's got to be the same. So it's got to be a short text field of 5 characters. Because I don't want to try to do a match on a query and say, does a 5-character field equal a 2-character field? Or does a short text equal a number? I want them to be the same. They don't have to be spelled the same. You can get around that. I find it is far more convenient to spell them the same because then I remember what I call them as opposed to wondering what I call them here and what I call them there. So I think it's a lot easier if they're spelled the same. So if I now look at the student course table, okay, it also has a student ID and it's spelt the same, and notice it's also a short text of 5. So that gives me the same look and the comparison will be better. Then I said, okay, the course number. Okay, so course number I am going to need when I relate to the course table. And so course number I got to look at also. I made it a short text and I made it 6 characters. So when I use course text again, I should make it short text and 6 characters. Then I have semester year and I have grade, which are just pieces of data. Semester year is part of the key. And notice how I have highlighted all three and then I hit key. Okay. So when you look at this now, the student IDs are 11112222 and they're matching with my students. And the course number is matching to things I will have on the course table. Okay. So then I look at my course table. And my course table has a course number. And it is short text, and it better be 6. And it is. And that's the primary key. And then I've got course name
and the number of credits. Okay?
And then the last table that I looked at, so if you look at this, it has all the different courses that I listed. Okay, we have a limited catalog. We have 5 courses you can take at this school.
Perfect.
Okay. And then if you look at the department table, the department has a department code, which is short text of 2. And back on the student table, I had a department code that was short text of 2. So those match nicely. And my department table has a department name and a department chair. And I only have 2 departments in this school, a CI and a BU. Okay, so those are the only 2 departments. Okay. So I've set up my tables, and I have set up my data and put the data into them. Okay. So now I'm going to close my 4 tables, and I'm going to do a query and talk about how I can do a query in this. Okay. So I'm going to say create, and I want to create a query design. And I want to have the student table and the student courses. So I added both of those to my query. Okay, now, I need to show how these are linked. And they're linked based on student ID. And so I can drag this over there, one on top of another, and it makes a link. It links the student ID. It says this student ID, link the student ID to the student ID over here. Because if I want to see student 1, I want to see the courses for student 1. And if I want to see student 2, I want to see the courses for student 2. So I drag that over and link it. Okay, so now if I run this, or I've got to bring some data down. So I'll bring down the student ID, the student name, the course number, the semester, and the grade. Okay, so I brought things down from 2 different tables. Notice that it tells the table that it came from. So I'm not only seeing the field, I'm seeing the table that it came from. Okay. So if I now run this and do a view, I think I took a picture. It shows me, let's see if I can get rid of that. It shows me student 111 is Jane Costa, and apparently there were 2 records in the course file about student 111, and it's showing me both of them. And then it's showing me 222, or actually it's showing me 12345. John Doe only had 1 course. David Smith had 2 courses. Linda Brown had 2 courses, and James Souza had 3. So it's showing me, it's doing a link between the 2 tables and showing me all of the information linked together. Okay. Now, if I had gone back and I took this out, so there was no longer a link. Okay, so I now do not have a link. It shows me every possible combination. Yeah. So the link is critical. because now it shows me every possible combination. It takes every record on table one and links it to every record on table two. So I see every possible combination. And that's meaningless and worthless. So that link was clearly an important thing to do. So I put the link back in, and now it will link to just the ones that have the same student ID. So every line will indicate the same student ID. Okay. So with the link back in, it works. And we might as well save that. Sure, query one works for me. Notice when I save it, there are different ways of saving it, but the way I've got it set up right now is it saves it with all of the tables that are involved. And you may or may not like that, but that's the way it does it. Okay, so now I'm going to create another query. And I'm going to say create query design. And I am going to have the student table, the student courses, and the course. Okay? So I added in those three. Okay, so what are my links between these ones?
Student ID, the first and second.
Right, student ID. And what's my other link?
The course.
Yes. So I drag that one on top of another, and it links it. So now I say, okay, what do I want to see? Well, let's see. I want to see the student ID, the student name, the course number, and then I want the course name next to it, and then the grade. So that's what I want, I decided. Okay. So now if I run this, now I've got the student number, the course number, the course name, and the grade. And that is linked from three different tables. And again, if I had not put those links in, you'd have every possible combination. And when I've gone to the point of adding a third table, it's going to be out of sight. Okay? So you want to limit it by saying, I only want the links that make sense. Questions?
James Souza is a terrible student.
Pardon me?
James Souza is a terrible student.
Okay, and I should have put her name in there so it would emphasize it. Okay, so now I'm going to save this, and I'll save it as query two. And now I'm going to link all of the tables. So I'm going to do a create query design, and I'm going to say I want student, I want department, I want student course, and I want course. So apparently it figured out it was supposed to link departments. Sometimes it figures it out all by its little selfie. And I now want student ID linked over to student ID. And I want course number linked to course number. And I can draw that down to make it a little clearer where the things are linked. But I've now got all of those links made. So now I can take information from all four tables. So I can say I want the student ID, the student name, the department code. It doesn't matter which table I print it, I click on. On any of these, actually. Department code, I can click here. Department code, I can click here. It doesn't matter because I've said link them when they're the same. So if they're the same, it doesn't matter which one I show. because I'm linking them at the same. So I can put, just to prove it, I'll put them both there. And then I've got department name, then I've got course number, grade, and course number, course name, and I guess I didn't put grade, and there's grade. So I've got stuff from all of the tables. And when I run them, you can see it all, and you can see I put department, student department number from both tables, and you can see that they're exactly the same. So there was no reason for me to do both of them. Notice also that up here at the top, come on, one of them is called student department code, and the other is called department code, telling me which table they came from.
And it only does that if you do more than one of the same views?
Yeah. It keeps track of it when it needs to, basically.
Okay.
But over here, for example, it just has department name, because I didn't talk about it more. Student ID. Okay. And if I put it in there a second time, you'd see which table it came from. So when I put it in there a second time, it tells me what table it came from. Okay. So, the one I want you to work on is this one, which is a donor multiple table database. Okay. So I've said here that I've got three tables, and I am defining these tables for you. There is a donor table, there is a donation table, and there is a drive table. So I've got three different tables. And I figure you might as well start, if you have another course with me, you'll see these come up and haunt you. So you might as well get used to them. So what I've got here is I want to set up three tables. And you can use my names or not use my names. Notice that PK is not part of the name. PK is simply saying that's the primary key. Over here, these three make up the primary key together. And so you would have to highlight them all and hit primary key. And then over on the data table, the drive number is the primary key. Okay? So I want you to set these tables up, put a little data in them, three people donating, making a couple of donations each to a couple of drives. And then I've got some queries down below where I want you to put the queries in. Okay. And one thing that I forgot to do when I was doing the database, so I'm going to go back and look at it quickly, is if I wanted to bring up this query 3, and I wanted to have it only for CI majors, I can do the same thing that you have done in the past so that I can put criteria in down here. I want it to be only for CI majors, so I made department code equal to CI. Okay? And probably that was a bad one to pick, but anyway, because I did it twice. So I can say department, and I want only students that got AA. So I've got an AND relationship going on there. And if I click on view, I have CI students with an A. You can kind of see it over at the side a little bit. CI students with an A are the only ones I got. Okay? And if I put them on opposite lines, I would have gotten the... So if I'd said A, let's say B down here, and got rid of the A, then I'm going to see either CI students or people that got a BU, but got a B. So there is one person that is showing up that's a BU student, but they got a B, and there's a bunch of CI students showing up with A's. Because this is CI or B. Don't care which, CI or B. So the querying is exactly the same way of setting up criteria that we looked at way back in January and February. Okay. So, you've got about 25 minutes. Start setting up the donor database.
Okay.
And I would save it on your flash drive if you have a flash drive, so that you can finish it up at home or whatever you want to save on your flash drive. Yeah.
When I tried downloading the example table, it gave me this.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, Janine sent me hers, but it gave me that. Just so you know, for future reference.
Well, I'm not... did you go all the way through...
Janine sent me hers.
What browser are you in?
I'm in Microsoft Edge.
I don't know. Try it another one and see.
I will, but...
Microsoft, it should be fine, because Microsoft ought to be able to deal with Microsoft products.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
But, then again...
You never know. I'm trying Chrome.
Just to finish off what I was looking at in queries.
Here I want CI and either CIS 120 or just a grade of B. So I want CIS and either of those two things. So I have CI on both lines. I have the B on one line and the C GIS 120 on the other line. So it is saying it's got to be CI and either of the other things. So it's got to be CI and B or CI and CIS 120. And if I look at the results of that, I see that they're all CI, and they either have 120 or have a B. Okay, one or the other, either 120 or a B. Notice also there's an extra credit quiz for people that are looking for extra credit.